We're back with another episode, Not Even D2, the podcast covering all the narratives that matter in college sports through conversations with those involved in college sports. If you're watching on YouTube, definitely make sure to hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on any other platform, be sure to follow. Also follow our socials at Not Even D2 on Twitter and Instagram. A lot of content. Definitely want to stay tuned with that. On today's episode, we have Miles Myrie. Miles Myrie is a stud football player, a great running back, currently plays at Morgan State in the MEAC League, and spent 2 years at Fairmont State Division II school and lit it up in just 2 years, got enough interest, and transferred to Morgan State, where he's now having a great season after week one. But I just want to talk a little about MEAC football. Wait, before we talk about MEAC football, shout out to that boy, Mark Anthony, who we met at the We Are D3 Pro Combine, talked to him for a little bit. Great guy, great basketball player, but he actually went to high school with Miles, patched us in, and that's mad love. He didn't have to do that, so appreciate you, Mark. But back to Miles and MEAC football. I mean, MEAC football, if you guys aren't tuned in, like, you definitely should start, like, right now. I'm looking at these standings, and the top, like, five teams are all 1-1 before conference play starts in a few weeks. If you watch some of the games, it's the same energy at, like, a Power 5 school. You know, the bands are lit. The cheerleading is lit. The football is top tier, and it's all just black culture, and that's a beautiful thing. So if you're not tuned in, like, definitely start looking up Howard's schedule, Morgan State, South Carolina State. They're all great teams and going to put on a show. So start tuning in. But back to Miles, like I said, he's just a great running back. Can boogie, like he likes to say, can boogie. And he also can hit that hole and just be out. So, I mean, there's a lot to talk about regarding his career, but I want to hear from you and what you got to say about Miles.
Yeah, we definitely got to shout out my our guy, Mark Anthony, for that patch. This was definitely a great interview, bro. I felt like we were just having a conversation with Miles, and I think that's what we want at the end of the day when we're interviewing someone, right? Like, we just want them to make them feel comfortable and like we're getting to know them at the end of the day. And I really felt like we got to know Miles in the period that we were talking to him. But he's obviously a great football player, man. I mean, hearing his story, he transferred from D2 to D1. I mean, we love hearing stories like that. And just him talking about the grind that it took to get there, how much work that he put in, how much time that he spends on his craft, his experience, you know, playing HBCU football, which, you know, we had a conversation about, like, Deion Sanders kind of making that shit turn, as he said, like, you know what I'm saying? So, he also said, like, MEAC football and HBCU football at that was already turned before that, but Deion Sanders kind of put that spotlight. And now, ever since then, like, more people are starting to realize, you know, that it get like that, you know what I'm saying?
It get like that.
And especially, you know, this year, I mean, I'm pretty sure ABC had a broadcast of the MEAC and SWAC challenge where Norfolk State played against Florida A&M. And it was on ESPN and all that. But that coach was like super hype about, you know, being on ESPN and what that's doing for HBCU football.
I don't know if we really understand the magnitude of Saturday night. I hear Coach Saban refer to it, you know, the other day, like it's no Saturday night like a Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. But do we really understand that this year is a kickoff, and we're kicking off major event Saturday night, college football on ABC? I mean, we sitting in here as if we do this every day. We're playing Saturday night college football on ABC. Well, see, if that's the best we can do, we might as well play on Tuesday night. Guys, this is prime time. Do you know how many schools would never receive this opportunity to play college football on Saturday night on ABC?
So I'm glad we got Miles on here, man. It was good to talk to him, good to get to know him, and it was a great interview, bro, and a great conversation.
OD. And Miles is OD at football. Like, if you watch his film, you're going to be like, oh, he could play at a high, high major school. But what I respect about Morgan State, they just hired a new offensive coordinator, Coach Apollo Wright. And I got mad respect for him because, you know, most times in college football, when you have a dominant RB1, It's like they're getting all the carries. It's not really love for the RB2, RB3, RB4. But, I mean, if you look at Morgan State, they got four running backs in the top 20 in rushing in the MEAC, and that's crazy. So all the love is being shared around, and they're all killing it. I mean, we are only 2 weeks into the season, so I don't want to drag it. But, I mean, Keith Jenkins, Jason Collins, and J.J. Davis, and Miles, it's impressive because they all have different styles. And, like, watch their film. They all have different styles, and they're all tough. It's hard on Coach Wright to pick who's going to get that love, but he's sharing the love. And, I mean, they're just a great, great running back room. And, like, you guys were talking about this in the episode, but that's, like, it's not common where you see – like people competing for the same position or the same spotlight, and there not be that like tension or envy, like, dang, I really want that. But it's just the culture at Morgan State and how they built that up to know that I trust the guy who's playing in front of me, or if he's getting some reps, then I still want that. I'm still going to hype him up. So, I mean, that's another thing that I just respect a lot. And another thing, I'm putting my pick in now. I got Morgan State winning the MEAC. It's a good football league, but I think that running back room is just really tough. And they didn't have the best week two against Towson. We had high expectations for that game, but they didn't bring it their best game. But they're gonna bounce back, and I'm picking them to win the MEAC. So stay tuned for what Morgan State got in store.
100%, 100%, and that's a great conversation that you're bringing up about, you know, that running back room, because like the environment that he's talking about, it breeds like a winning environment, right? When you can look to the guy that's at your same position or maybe getting a little bit more minutes than you, and if you can look to your left and right and you got those guys around you, but regardless, like, you still want to see them win, and you're going to work that much harder to push them or to fight for your opportunity without any envy. It's like, that's a real like type of brotherhood and winning environment that every college program needs. So that was definitely a great point that you bring up. And yeah, bro, I mean, I don't know much about football, man. Like we talked about this in the episode, I'm learning more about football every day. I'm trying to, you know, he broke it down, what his reads, and you could see my face. I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about, but it was still a great convo, bro. Like I said, just about, you know, his career playing HBCU football and, you know, who he is as a person and a running back.
No, yeah. And one game I definitely think that should be on everybody's radar. I don't know the exact date, but last game of the year, we got Howard versus Morgan State. And I think that has a lot of implications for who wins the MEAC. So look that up and try to mark that in your schedules, because that's going to be a big-time game. I imagine that crowd is going to be sold out. You know, every rivalry in the MEAC is OD, so definitely put that in your schedule. And, I mean, we talk about a lot with Miles, like you said, his HBCU experience, his D2 experience, because he was killing at that level. And then finally, like, I think you guys are going to enjoy his expectations or what he plans to do for the rest of the season. So definitely stay tuned, and let's get into the conversation with Miles. All right, we're here with that boy, Miles Myrie. How you doing today, guy?
I'm good. How y'all doing, man?
Chilling, bro. Appreciate you getting on, man. I know it's probably a busy schedule right now, yeah. Middle of the season, but appreciate this, bro.
For sure, man. Appreciate y'all for having me, too.
Yeah, for sure. So I just want to start at the top. Like, I mean, coming out of high school, I kind of wanted to go to HBCU, and now you're at Morgan State. So just talk to me about what that atmosphere is like, a little about your day today, and, you know, what's Morgan State like?
I mean, the atmosphere here is crazy, bro. Like, and like, now that it's hot outside, like, you see everything. Like, everybody's on campus. You know what I'm saying? It's a good vibe, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a great vibe, man. Day to life, man. I just see. I woke up at like 5:45 this morning. We had meetings at 6:30. From there, we go to like our. From there, we go to like another meeting. And then from there, we got another meeting, you know what I'm saying? Just meetings, like, all the way up from, like, 6:30 to, like, 9, I want to say. And then, like, we practice at 9:30. And after practice, we stretch, you know what I'm saying, do that type of stuff. And then we got weight room like I did today. So, yeah, that's pretty much the day in the life, for real, bro. I'm pretty boring, man.
Bro, bro, it's crazy. Like a lot of my friends, like some of my friends here play football, and like the amount of meetings that they have,
bro, like it's ridiculous, bro. Like the meetings, it's like sometimes it's kind of hard to stay up because like it's kind of repetitive at the same time, but it's like you got to get the information, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah,
because it's like you might have like a team meeting and then positional meeting and then a defensive meeting. It's
crazy. That's exactly how it went, bro. We went team, you know, we had special teams meeting at first at 6:30. Then we go team meeting at 6:45 or 7 o'clock. Then from that we go O and D. Then from that we got to break up into our groups. So it's a lot of meetings, bro.
That's OD.
Yeah.
So my thing is like how do you guys fit? Like I want to know like how you adjusted to the schedule, like especially with class too, because like you're a transfer coming in. Like last year you were a transfer, so now like you had to figure out like how to manage football, but also like classes too. So I want to hear a little bit about that.
So like coming from Fairmont, bro, like our practice used to be in the evening. We used to practice at like, I want to say like 3:45 or 4 o'clock. So like all our classes used to be in the morning. So I used to wake up at like, I had like 8 a.m.s, 9 a.m.s, you know what I'm saying? I had classes in the morning, but like when I transferred to Morgan, our classes are now in the evening because we practice in the morning. So it's kind of like, when you get to class, man, you be tired, bro. Like, you be dead tired, but you still got to push through it, though. You know what I'm saying? So it was a big adjustment for me, but I kind of like this one better, though, for sure.
So we were kind of talking about this off air, but, like, so I watch football. Like, I'll sit down and watch, like, football with my teammates on Sundays or college football on Saturdays. But, like, to be honest with you, bro, like, I really don't understand, like, the play calls or, like, the defenses. Yeah. Like, in Madden, I press random plays and stuff.
Right. You just hoping it work.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah. If you could – I'd kind of be interested because we haven't – I know KJ interviewed Cole Burgess, who's a wide receiver at a D3 school that went to a training camp deal with the Bengals. But we never really talked to a football player on air.
Yeah.
So I want you to walk me through like your process when you get a play called for you and like the ball is handed off. Like, what do your reads look like? Like, talk about that.
All right, let me think of a play right quick. Cause we just we can go like trips right, yo-yo. Let's see, trips right, yo-yo, lack, H dive or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's basically inside zone, but you got like a whole lot of motions with that too as well. But really, only thing I really need to hear is the snap count, and I need to hear like which way I'm going for real. So like my read on inside zone, like it depends on like what the defense is in. So basically let's just say like they're in a 4-2-5 basically, meaning like they got four down linemen, they got two linebackers and they got five DBs. So if they're in the under front, which meaning that the three tech is on the strong side, it's probably like foreign language to you, bro. But
I'm following.
Yeah,
but so basically like if they're in a 4-2-5 and that three tech is on the strong side, which means that they're in the over front, which means my read is going to be that three tech. We get two double teams to the three tech. So that three tech is going to probably get washed down. So if he goes inside, I'm going to stay on my path. But if you go outside, then I got to go back inside. Then my next read will be that linebacker. I got to see how the linebacker plays it. Because if he overshoot it, then I just hit the gap and I'm gone. But if he, you know what I'm saying, kind of play with it a little bit, like he's kind of standing there, then I kind of got to slow it down a little bit just to try to read that block a little bit more. But yeah, it kind of can get tricky, especially playing running back. Because like, so much is happening up front, you know what I'm saying? You're just hoping that the hole get open just a little bit so you can squeeze through.
Yeah.
So you talked about how, like, you just hitting that gap and you're gone. Yeah. And you kind of did that in week one with that little tight end.
Yeah. So, I didn't even lie. I was kind of surprised that I definitely got on them early, too.
So just walk me through that play. Like, are there ever moments as a running back where you're just like, oh, nah, this is a tutty right here. Like,
oh, yeah, initially. I definitely felt that on my second touchdown with when we played Hampton. Because I'm like even in practice, that play always hit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just a money play for us. So I'm thinking, like, I forgot the name of the play. I think it was, like, Rabbit Truck or something like that. So basically, like, it's like a counter, basically. But, like, the whole line is going one way, and I come back the other way. And I think we have, like, a pulling guard on that. So basically, like, I'm just knowing. Because, like, Hampton, like, I was watching film on them, and like they just flow heavy, like any way they go, they just flow heavy. And I don't think they were really that disciplined, you know what I'm saying? So like when I heard that, I'm thinking, oh yeah, this money, this touchdown. And normally like everything can be blocked up perfect, but you always got that one guy that you got to beat. So I just knew I had somebody to deal with, and I just broke that tackle when I scored, bro. And it was just, I was excited, man. Touchdown. The band started playing. You know what I'm saying? You know that vibe, man. It was crazy.
Yo, I need a consistent Sally for going forward.
Yeah, I don't have one yet, bro. That's the crazy thing. Like, I don't know what I want to do. Like, first, I think the first touchdown I had, some type of little dance, dice thing. You know what I'm saying? But I think my teammate want to call that. He called that belt to ass. Yeah. But I think the second touchdown, I don't know. I was excited, bro. I had a lot of emotions going through me. I just screamed, you know? Yeah.
I love that, bro. I love that a lot. And it's funny, like, hearing you, like, talk about, like playing the running back position and the reads that you're making. And, like, I'm assuming you've been playing football ever since you were a little kid. So, like,
I've been playing ball since I was, like, I want to say, like, 4 years old, bro. But, like, I always grew up around it, though. Because, like, my older brother, he was playing football before me. I want to say, like, 7 years older than me. So, like, when I was born, I was going to the football games in a stroller. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was always around football. And then when I finally got old enough, like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to play football. Like, this is tough.
Well, it's like, it's fun. Like, it's funny you saying this, because it's like, we talked to Mark, and it's like, he's saying the DMV area is full of just straight hoopers. And I feel like that's honestly,
yeah,
like,
that is true. Yeah. Well, that's some ball players, football players too, though.
I want you to talk about this, bro. Like, talk about growing up in the DMV area where it's probably mostly hoopers. Hopefully I'm not, you know, saying a wrong thing, but it's probably... It's mostly hoopers, but growing up there and, like, playing football, and I want you to talk about how you fell in love with it.
Let's see. Growing up in the DMV, man, like, well, really, I'm actually from D.C., so I'm from the D part of DMV. But, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, like, just growing up around it, as far as, like, how I fell in love with the game, it was just, like, I just like contact, bro. Like, I'm not trying to throw no shade against basketball, but, like, it's not enough contact in there for me, and I'm a smaller guy, so... I really couldn't have hoop dreams for too long, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I played on the circuit. I played with DC Assault. You know what I'm saying? Like, I played basketball when I was younger, but as I'm getting older, bro, it's like, yeah, this not for me, bro. Cause like everybody's 6'2", 6'5", you know what I'm saying? Just hoopers, you know what I'm saying? But it really wasn't for me. And I like the physicality of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like an outlet for me. So if I can be aggressive, you know what I'm saying? Be like, just kind of like be myself. And I can always like, I can always like express myself through football. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's contact. I can, if I'm angry or something, I can take it out on the next player. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether it be a block, a run, or I'm running somebody over, bro. I just fell in love with the game at a young age. And you know what I'm saying? Like, growing up, you kind of lose sight of that a little bit. You want to hang around your friends. You know what I'm saying? You want to do this. You want to go party. You want to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I don't know. I just had a strong upbringing. Like my mom just kept me grounded. You know what I'm saying? So it was just a thing with, like, she was like, you even going to play football, you're going to join the military. I'm not joining the military. So I had to play ball, man.
Yeah. I mean, talking more about, like, the DMV football scene, I was reading about, like, Avalon High, the high school you went to, and Trayvon Diggs actually went there, which is crazy. He's on the Cowboys now doing big things. Mm-hmm. And there was, like, six Bama players in the national championship a few years ago, which is also crazy. So obviously there's a lot of talent, and you were a trio sport athlete in high school coming out, and you committed to Fairmont State. And I want to talk about your recruitment process, who was involved, but also, like, I want to hear your opinion on, did you think you were a Division I athlete coming out of high school and your feelings going D2?
Yeah. So I had a different type of recruitment process. You know what I'm saying? So I had went to DM with Mark, you know what I'm saying? I stayed there for 3 years, and just like some things really didn't work out for me right there. You know what I'm saying? It was just a whole lot of, how can I put it? Very, very political. So it was times where, like, I mean, don't get me wrong though. Like, I had won a national championship game there I won the game at DM, I think my sophomore year. I caught like the game winning touchdown. You know what I'm saying? I thought from there, bro, I was going to go crazy. You know what I'm saying? I had colleges hit me up, like Boston College, UMD, you know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm finna go big, but it just didn't work out that way. So I ended up transferring out. And I ended up going to Avalon, and man, shout out Coach Spinner, man. Like, he's really that guy for real. So I ended up going to Avalon. The crazy thing is, though, when I got to Avalon, bro, I didn't even play running back. I played DB. Mm-hmm. I played corner, bro. So it's like, that was crazy for me. It was a whole new adjustment. I played corner and Fairmont. And so I had a couple offers. I had a couple offers from Maine, Towson, Elon, I had like a whole bunch of schools like in that conference, you know what I'm saying? But like, it wasn't for running back. And I knew, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to go to that school, play DB, and they're going to look over me because my size. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not as tall, but I'm really physical, but I'm not as tall. So they think like, if I was to match up with like a taller guy, it would be a mismatch. But so I think Fairmont and like one other school was like the only school that really offered me from running back. So I was like, you know, I'm playing running back because I know I can ball. You know what I'm saying? So I just took a chance with Fairmont, and it was up from there, bro. I had a great career at Fairmont. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you know, but I was a 1,000-yard rusher. I broke like 4 records there in one season. First team all conference. I was first team all American too as well. So yeah, I had a great career there.
So bro, you stealing, you know, my stats. I was gonna bring that up. In just 2 years, you became the 5th all time leading rusher at Fairmont. Oh, okay. State.
You guys did your research. You guys
Come
know
on,
something.
Bro, you know that. You know that. But yeah, so you did that in just 2 years. Your second year, you rushed for over 1,100 yards, almost 1,200 yards.
Yeah, every game was damn near 100 yards, bro.
Yeah, yeah. And you were first team all conference, like you said. So I was just curious if you could shed a little light about like what that process was that year, like every game to game, what you were thinking, like I'm about to go dominate. And then also I want to hear like when the exact moment you started thinking, all right, I might need to go transfer to play at a higher level. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so it's crazy though, because like when I first that next season, so that following season that I rushed for 1,000 and everything, I wasn't even starting, bro. Like that first game, I think I did like something real childish, bro. And it was like, yeah, you're not starting this game, you're not playing. So actually, it was another running back in front of me, and he was boogieing too, though. He was balling. So you know, like when somebody balling in front of you, kind of like, damn, it might be slow, you know what I'm saying? But so like he actually went down, he got hurt, I want to say like right before half. And like my first carry, bro, I think I took it like at least like 50 yards, bro. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, now I'm in my bag for real. So I had like a lot of aggression, like a lot of doubt, bro. Like everybody was doubting me, bro. So it's like I had to just show the coaches like I'm really that guy, you know what I'm saying? So but like that day to day, I mean like that like game to game, I was more so on like I was just doing it for my family, bro, because they was driving like 4 or 5 hours just to see me play every game, bro. So it was like, I got to do something like to at least make it worth their time. You know what I'm saying? So really like my motivation, really my mom, bro. Like she was like, she'll go anywhere, bro. Like she'll drive from D.C. all the way to like Ohio, bro. You know how long that is, bro. So like, yeah, bro, she'll make every game. And it's like, yeah, I got to put on a show. And like, I started getting more comfortable with it. You know what I'm saying? Like at first wasn't really comfortable with like, the line and everything like that. But as games started getting on, I had to play to their speed. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe I was hitting the hole too fast and I was missing my reads. So like, you know, those guys up front are like kind of slower a little bit. So I just had to slow it down a little bit. And like, so I slowed it down, bro. Everything just I started seeing everything clear. So like my process was like slow too, fast too. Like I get the ball, just slow it down a little bit. When I see it, hit it. And then if it's not there, I'm gonna make something happen, bro. I think like one game, I went off for like 175, and I think that game, I think I did some crazy stuff, bro. Like I got the ball and I reversed the field. I'm like, whoa, I ain't never do that before, bro. But I reversed the field, bro. I'm like, nah, I'm in my bag for real.
That's tough. But just to add on to that, like when was the moment you started thinking about, you know, entering the portal or playing at a higher level?
Yeah, so the moment that I wanted to enter the portal was like, I always had it, so I always knew, like, no shade to Fairmont, but I always knew, like, Fairmont wasn't my last stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always knew that if I do what I got to do here, I could definitely transfer out and I could play somewhere else. So, like, I want to say, like, second to last game. I think our second to last game was, like, Notre Dame College of Ohio. We played them. I had 2 tutties. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm gone. No offense, but I'm gone, bro. then I followed back that next game. We played Whelan at Whelan, bro. I'm like, and like, actually, my mom couldn't make it. And that was the game I broke like a 80-yard run. I'm like, damn, my mom didn't get to see it. So it's like, yeah, I'm gonna have to get up out of here. You know what I'm saying? But it's like no shade to Fairmont. But I think the moment I realized that what I knew, I feel like I could play and be like a pro for real. And nobody from Fairmont really took it to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Like, those guys, like, no, don't get me wrong. Fairmont had some ballers way before I got right there, but those guys never got their opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Just because it was a small school all the way out West Virginia. Then you had the bigger school there that all the scouts was going there. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, if I want to be seen, I got to do what I got to do here, and I got to leave. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, it ain't no shade to Fairmont, because it wasn't for Fairmont, I probably wouldn't even be at Morgan right now. But, yeah, so I just had to ball out there, man, just leave. So I want to say, like, the actual moment I knew, probably like that last game of the season, I had told Coach Woman, he's my head coach. I'm like, Coach, thank you for everything. Like, I'm like, because he gave me an opportunity, bro. I'm like, just thank you for everything. You know what I'm saying? He like, damn, man, what, you leaving me? And I didn't want to say it. I said, nah, Coach, I just thank you. But like a week later, I went to knock on his door. He like, man, I already know what it is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he was kind of heartbroken. But like that next season, he had left too. And I had a strong relationship with my running back coach, Coach Whitman. I mean, not Coach Whitman, Coach Lawless. Like he was a guy, man. He was definitely a guy too. So I had maybe an hour, 2 hour conversation with him, just basically saying, like, I appreciate you for everything. And I don't think it's the best thing for me to stay. And I'm glad I kind of left, though, because he left that season as well, too. And me and him was, like, real close. So I want to say, like, that last game when I knew, like, yeah, I got to get up out of here. Like, if I really want to make something of myself for real.
So now you're at Morgan State, and Morgan State's an hour and a half from D.C., right? So yeah. It's like you, your mom, your family, they could all come to the games. Right. Was that, like, a deciding factor for you? Like, all right, it's close to home, or is it just, like, pure football for you?
No, I knew I wanted to play HBCU football, because okay. I'm not gonna lie, Deion Sanders, he put him on the map, bro. So I'm thinking, like, okay. And like, I had a couple other offers besides Morgan. I had like Lafayette, I think that's in PA. It was like one other school. It was St. Francis as well. I had an offer from St. Francis. But I was like, it was still kind of far, bro. And I'm like, I can get the same result, if not better, here at Morgan State. And I think they just the season before I got there, they had a running back go to the league. So I'm like, yeah, he can do it. I can do it too. You know what I'm saying? So I think that was my biggest thing, bro. It's like, I gotta go. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I definitely understand that, bro. And this is gonna be our last question before we go to break, but. Just what was your expectation like coming in as a transfer with a whole new coaching staff, whole new set of teammates, right? You were talking about building a relationship with with the line at Fairmont State. So now you got to build a whole new relationship with the line at Morgan State. So just talk about that, bro.
My expectation, I expected to play right away, bro. I expected to compete with the best of them. I expected to play. I expected to make an impact. I felt as though I had great momentum, bro. I thought I had great momentum going into last season from my previous year, you know what I'm saying? And like the conversations I was having with the coaches at Morgan, it was like, yeah, like you're going to play, like you're actually one of our guys, you know what I'm saying? But it just didn't pan out that way. I ended up getting hurt. Want to say like against Dell State, I broke my finger or something like that. But my expectation was just play, get seen, make a name for myself, you know what I'm saying? And just take off from there, you know what I'm saying? But it didn't pan out that way last year, but I'm glad I got this year for sure.
All right. I respect that, and we got a lot more to talk about, all about Morgan State football, so stay with us while we take a quick break. All right, we're back. Something I was just, like, kind of thinking of on the fly is you played at the Division II level, and now you're playing HBCU football D1, and I was just kind of curious if you could talk about what the difference is in the levels, or if there is a difference at all, if you could talk about that.
I want to, like, the difference would probably be, like, the speed of the game. Like, at D1, guys are definitely bigger, faster, and stronger, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that's really, like, the main difference. And another difference would probably be either coaching or, like, the guys up front, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think any skilled player can play anywhere, you know what I'm saying? But it really gets down to, like, the trenches, like, the offense, defense, and line, and stuff like that, because – Like you could tell, you can tell. So like at Fairmont, bro, we didn't have the biggest O line. You know what I'm saying? Like we had guys, they were like 5'11". Like I think our tallest tackle probably was like 6'3". You know what I'm saying? Like we didn't have the biggest O-line. I'm looking at, like, other schools. I'm like, yo, these guys are huge. You know what I'm saying? Like, 6'5", 300 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's the biggest difference is just the trenches. But I think skilled players can play anywhere. You know what I'm saying? But I think the biggest difference is probably coaching and, like, how serious a guy take it. Because you're at D2, bro. Like, at one point, I was one of them guys. I'm like, bro, I'm at D2, bro. I'm not really – you know what I'm saying? But I really had to tap in. So I think, like, the seriousness of, like, what – a player really want to do with themselves and the checkers is like probably like the biggest difference for real.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we talked about this either off air or on air, but like you were talking about like the weight room and how like the coaches at Morgan State, like they began on you, they'll cuss you out, you know what I'm saying?
A heartbeat, bro. I think they start off the weight room with a cuss word, you know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah, nah, them guys at Morgan State really get you right. I think I put on maybe like 7 pounds of muscle since I've been here. I've became like way more leaner. You know what I'm saying? Like, and like the running and everything like that. It's a real good strength program here.
So another thing with like the Division II to Division I like aspect of it that I want you to touch on is maybe like the rivalries or like even the fans, because like when you watch like any like MEAC football game, I feel like even your game like this past year, this past week against Hampton. Right. Like that's a big rivalry that you guys have with Hampton. Right. Yeah. And you have like the bands that are involved with that going crazy. Yeah. And the Hampton and MSU band they're both like really good. So it's like talk about that aspect of playing Division I football, especially at an HBCU.
Bro, it's like it's crazy because like it's way more fans, way more supporters. You know what I'm saying? I think at Fremont, we only had like one sided bleachers. So like on one side, bro, it's just people. But at Morgan, you got both sides. At Hampton, you had four sides, bro. You had a top, bottom, left, and right. Like, it's crazy. And, like, the band, I don't know. It just feel right, bro. Like, the band start playing, you know what I'm saying? Bro, like, the vibe is just – I get chills, bro. Like, I don't think I ever got chills playing at Fairmont, but I got chills playing at Morgan, bro, and playing against, like, them teams. Because, like, it's – at Fairmont, it was a smaller school. So, like, our rivalry wasn't really that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it was a big deal, but – it wasn't really like a big deal for real. But here like at Morgan, like we got probably got like 4 or 5 rivalry teams, bro. And every time them games are banging, bro. Like they're banging every time. And like this one at Hampton, like, I don't know, something just felt right there. You know what I'm saying? Like it just felt good playing right there. Like we had our band going crazy, we had their band going crazy. And when we scored, like our band just started turning up, bro. Like it was fun, bro. It was a fun time. So I want to say the biggest difference would probably be like the rivalry and like how big your school is. Because of course, like you play at Alabama or something like that, you're going to be crazy. But I feel like at Morgan, bro, like I feel like it's just right. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got the right amount of supporters, like the right amount of rivalry and stuff like that. So every time we play each other, it's just a banger. Like everybody's popping out to the game. Everybody want to see who win. You know what I'm saying? Like even if we lose 5 years straight, bro, they're not going to stop coming to the rivalry game.
It's crazy because like you talked about this earlier, like Deion Sanders like going to Jackson State, right? Like he totally, at least like I'm an outsider, don't really watch football like that. I feel like he totally changed the way that people like look at like college football, like in the MEAC, right?
Yeah.
So now like you're competing there and you're seeing it firsthand. Like damn, like yo, this game is crazy, bro.
Bro, it's like, I don't know, bro. It just feel like I'm at a Power 5 school if I'm playing there. Cause like it's just so much going on, bro. Like I don't know if you played the new game, the NCAA, like the crowd noise and stuff like that. It feel like that in real life. I feel like that in real life. You know what I'm saying? It feel like that. But yeah, I think Deion, bro, he definitely shed a light on all HBCU teams and it's bringing more scouts to our practice, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I think he really had an effect. But don't get me wrong, like way before he got there, it was still turned up. But like now that he got here and left, it's turned up even more.
So I'm glad you said that, by the way, about it being turned before. But like, you had 2 touchdowns in week 1 against Hampton, and I just want to know, like, you have a game against Towson coming up. So first, I want you to touch on that a little bit too, but what was the offseason work like this past summer, like that allowed you to prepare yourself for like a really big season this upcoming year?
I think, well, I kind of take the offseason really serious and like all my years. Like that's one thing I always like do. Like anybody would tell you, like, I'm really like a workaholic for real. So in the offseason, bro, I was just going crazy, bro. Like I was treating it like camp basically. Like I would wake up in the morning, I'd do like a light jog, you know what I'm saying? But don't get me wrong, this is not every day, bro. Like I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like I be messing up sometimes, but like on like on a regular basis, bro, I wake up in the morning. Like I'll go run, then I have weight room, and then I'll go to the gym, I'll stretch some more, and then like I'll go train. Like when I train with like my running back coach, stuff like that, then we talking, you know what I'm saying? Like now, like we actually working. So like we do like drills, ladder drills, like we do like a lot of in-game situations when I train. So I think that prepared me for like in-game moments, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so shout out Coach Malik and Coach K-Dog, man. Them guys really took me to the next level for real.
So I want to talk a little about this game against Hampton this past week. The running back room had a great day. 244 yards on the night out of 319 total yards as a team, yeah, which is OD. So just great. Talk about the relationship you guys have as a backfield, you, Keith Jenkins, and Jason Collins.
We also can't forget about JJ Davis as well too, though. He's a guy too, but I think our relationship, bro, I think it's not a cancer in the room, bro. Like I think everybody know that we all can play. In one game it might be their game, and it's just like in one game it might be my game, it might be his game, you know what I'm saying? But I feel as though like everybody's sure to love, bro. Like it's not no hating going on. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a good vibe in the room. Like we all laugh, joke around, stuff like that. So I feel as though like our relationship got better through camp, should I say. You know what I'm saying? Like I wanna say maybe like second week of camp, bro. I think we all like locked in, like, bro, like we all can play, bro. So let's just get our minds ready, like we all gonna play. You know, at some schools you might got two guys out the room that actually plays, but here it's crazy because like everybody got a piece of the pie, bro. Like everybody played, and that's the crazy thing. Cause like last year, like the year, like when the like year that I first got to Morgan, it wasn't like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I kind of thought it's gonna be like that again, but it's not, bro. Like everybody eating. So I'm happy for everybody who played and contributed for real.
It's kind of, you like to hear stuff like that, right? Cause like when, especially when you have like so many talented players, whether it be basketball, football, right, and you guys are all competing, soccer, whatever sport it is, and you guys are all competing for the spot, like it can kind of create a little bit of like, damn, like
tension. Yeah, for sure,
you,
for sure.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? But y'all have, but it's cool that you guys have like a relationship where it's like not everyone's gonna eat, or we're gonna all help each other get better today. So I definitely like that, bro.
Yeah.
So moving on, I mean, Ruta mentioned you guys got Towson on Saturday, lost to them back to back years. And we got to go get one on Saturday. This is going to be released after Saturday. But just looking ahead to the rest of the season, I mean, I see Howard on senior night, a tough MEAC schedule. So what should we expect from not only Miles, but Morgan State as a team going forward for the rest of the season?
Well, we got a new offensive coordinator. So we turned up, man. We turned up. You see it. Like any other game last year, bro, only one person was eating. You know what I'm saying? Like I might have had like, one game I had like two carries, next game I had three, you know what I'm saying? So it was a lot of ups and downs, but I think with this new offensive coordinator, like he sees that like not only one guy can play, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he sees that like if we share the love, then that's going to be the outcome of the game, you know what I'm saying? Everybody going to eat, everybody going to score, and it's going to be good. So from like a Morgan standpoint, I feel as though you should expect us to win a lot more games this year. Because in the past, like, I've been hearing, like, way before I got here, like the offense at Morgan State, like, it's not really good. You know what I'm saying? But like, our defense is always, like, what kept us in the games. You know what I'm saying? So I feel as though offense going to pull their weight this year for sure. And expect from me, man, you expect a lot of me. I ain't going to lie, man. I don't really be cocky or not, but I'm finna pop it, bro. Like,
I heard you.
Pumped up, bro. I ain't going to lie. Like, this is actually – Like I want to say, like, this is what I've been waiting for, bro. Like, this is what I wanted. You know what I'm saying? And don't get me wrong, bro. Like when I was at Fairmont, bro, I was turned up. And I was getting, like, the little interviews here and there. You know what I'm saying? But, like, here it's, like, a whole different ball game, bro. So, like, the more I produce, bro, like the more my name get put out, more we win games, the more exposure we get as a school and as a program. So I feel as though we definitely heading in like in the right direction for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Ruta and I definitely gonna be tuned in this weekend and locked, the rest of the season, bro.
That's I might have me on this joint next week too. Crazy.
Let's do it, bro.
But we're gonna end this episode with a little rapid fire and start our top five edition. So let us know when you're ready for a rapid fire.
All right, bet. Let's do it.
All right, first rapid fire question we got, bro. Top three underrated running backs in the NFL. Not like I don't want any household names, but the running backs that people don't know about.
All right, I'm gonna go with my boy Jared Patterson. He played for the Chargers. He's from the DMV area. Now, that guy right there, I actually trained with him over the summer, bro. Let me tell you something about Jared Patterson. Workaholic, bro.
Workaholic.
You don't like losing in nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll run sprints. I might get out on him. Oh, nah, we got to run that back, bro. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jared Patterson is a guy. And he's not a household name yet, but he's kind of like my build a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has a little bit more muscle than I do, but he's a guy as well. So I want to say Jared Patterson. I want to say Deuce Vaughn. I don't know if you heard of Deuce Vaughn. He came from K-State.
Yep, Cowboys.
Boogie as well. I'm naming all short running backs, bro. I'm standing with my community, bro.
I respect it.
But yeah, I want to say Jared Patterson, Deuce Vaughn, and let's see, one more other one. I like the guy Bucky Irvin. He came from Oregon. Yeah, I like him as well. So I think those are my top three underrated backs so far.
Word. I like that list, bro. Next rapid fire question. Top three Baltimore athletes.
Baltimore. See, I'm not really tapped in with Baltimore, but if I can go top three Baltimore athletes, I would go Tavon Austin.
You could do DC. You could do DC then if you're more tapped in with DC. Top three DC athletes.
Top three DC. Do it gotta be football?
Nah, all sports.
All sports. Okay, and I'm gonna go Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go Chase Young. And I don't want nobody to feel bad, bro. Cause we got a lot of athletes, bro. Let's see if I can go basketball here. Let's see if I can go basketball. I'm more basketball guy. Markelle Fultz.
Yeah. Markelle Fultz.
I like that one.
Oh, no. Yeah, Markelle Fultz, but we got Marco Hellams. He played for the Falcons right now. We got Carlos Washington. He played for the Falcons right now. Yeah, we're gonna go with them too. Yeah.
And then last rapid fire question, your favorite DMV artist?
Damn, it's a lot of good talent, bro. It's a lot of good talent in DMV. Favorite DMV artist. I'm going to go, my favorite is, I don't think you guys heard of him, but he's called JG Riff.
JG Riff?
Yeah, Riff, bro. Like, Riff be speaking to the people, bro. He speak to the people for sure.
I bet. That's valid. I'm going to have to tune in.
Yeah,
but we're going to move to top five edition. So if you're a coach assembling like your skilled position lineup, who you're going to pick in this edition is going to be the best skilled positions that you've played with in your career. It could be from high school all the way to where you're at right now. So you get a quarterback, a running back, two receivers, and a tight end. Who are you picking? All right. And just say a little bit about their talent and where you play with them at.
Okay, so quarterback, I'm going to go my quarterback from high school, Bo English. He's a winner. He won four straight national championships, and I happen to be on one of them teams. So I'm going to go Bo English. Okay, Bo English is a guy. He's a guy, bro. He's a dotted up, and he can run the ball. I'm going to go Bo English for quarterback. Now, for the X receiver and for the Z receiver, okay, so outside, bro, I don't want nobody to get mad at me, bro. But on the outside, now, this back when Marco was playing receiver, now he plays safety for the Falcons. But when he was a receiver, oh my God, unstoppable. Head tap, bro. I'm gonna go at the X, I'm gonna go Marco. Now, at the Z, I'm gonna go DJ Turner. He played for the Ravens now, so I'm gonna go DJ Turner. For the Z. For the tight end, it was a beast tight end. For the tight end, I'm gonna go Kellen. He played at Duquesne, for receiver, but he played tight end at DM. So I'm going to go Kellen at tight end. And then you say for me.
RB. Hey, oh, and you can put yourself too.
Yeah, I'm going me for sure. So I'm going to go me and I'm going to go Marshawn Lloyd because he's a guy too.
That's tough.
Yeah, I'm going to go me and Marshawn because that's actually what it was at DM. So I'm going to go on that whole team.
Tough. That's probably why I won.
Yeah, I'm going to go that team, bro.
But that's going to do it for another episode. I'm not even D2. We definitely appreciate you hopping on real quick. And like I said, we so locked in for this weekend. Good luck to you and the guys.
Yeah, bro. Tap in, bro. Appreciate y'all for having me, bro.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2. If you haven't already, make sure to go follow all the socials at Not Even D2. You can catch every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm your host, KJ Allison. And I'll see you next episode.